Okay, the boys side. Today's daf is daf vav. We're holding daf hey amud beis, roughly 6-7 lines from the bottom of the amud. We're in the middle of a sugya. As you'll recall, the Gemara wanted to know, how do I know that the schach is not part of the 10 tefachim measure from the ground, but rather is lemala min haichalal? It's higher than the halal ha-sukkah, meaning the open area, the open space in the sukkah. How do we know this? So the Gemara said we learn it from the kruvim, because the kruvim were per se kenafayim lemala, soichichin b'chanfeim ala kapoiris, and the Gemara made a cheshbon. What was the cheshbon? That just like in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the kruvim stood up to the height of one third of the entire height of the Heichel, or the Kodesh Kedoshim, because the Heichel and Kodesh Kedoshim went all the way up to Shloishim Amma Kaimasai, 30 Amois. The Kruvim that Shloimeh Melech made were 10 Amois tall, so 10 out of 30 is one third, exactly one third. Similarly, in the times of the Mishkan, the Kruvim which were affixed to the top of the Kapoiris went up one third of the height of the Mishkan. What was the height of the Mishkan? So we said yesterday that it's 10 amois oirech hakoresh, the kroshim that were the walls of the Mishkan were 10 amois tall. If you convert 10 amois to tvachim, you get 60 tvachim. Therefore, one third of 60 tvachim is 20 tvachim. We established yesterday that the oroin and the kapoiris were 10 tvachim. So above those 10 tvachim, I had another 10 tvachim, which was the height of the kruvim. 10 plus 10 is 20. So that's one third of the 60 tvachim height of the Mishkan. But above that 20 figure, we had the wings which were spread out. How do I know that? Because it says in the pasuk, they were higher than the entire 20 tvachim. And they were soichichim b'chanfeim. They were b'chinas schach. They were just like schach that you have on the top of the sukkah. And it was lamala. Oh, so I see from this clearly, said the Gemara yesterday, that the schach is not part of the 10 tvachim, but rather it is above the 10 tvachim. The 10 tvachim in this case being the height of the kruvim, which in turn were on top of the orin and the kapoitz. So Gemara said that works beautifully according to the Meir, but according to the Yehuda, I have a problem. Because Rabbi Yehuda said that the amois of the Klei HaMikdash were not measured with 6 tvachim amois, but with 5 tvachim amois. And that being the case, since we know that the Oroin was 1.5 amois tall, if I multiply 1.5 times 5, I get 7.5. If I add the Kapoiris, which was 1, that gives you 8.5. So if I start off with my 20 tvachim height, that includes the Oren, the Kapoiris, and the Kruvim, 20 minus 8.5, I'm left with 11.5. So if anything, according to Behuda, the shear of a kosher sukkah should not be 10 tvachim plus the schach on top, but it should be 11.5 tvachim and the schach on top. Said the Gemara, you know what, you're right. How does Rabbi Yehuda know his shear of the sukkah? Not from the Kruvim, but rather based on Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. And that was 2-4, about 8-9 lines from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara said, El Rabbi Yehuda Hilchas Gemirila, that Rabbi Yehuda learns it from Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, the Amr Abchi Barashi, Amr Rav, Shi'urin, Chatzitzin, Umachitzin, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Shi'urin means all the measures that we are going to discuss momentarily. Chatzitzin means when a person goes to the mikveh and they have on themselves some sort of protrusion which is on their skin, whether that protrusion happens to be dirt or whether it's a band-aid or a scab or whatever, all of these potentially are chatzitzin, paint, ink, a chatzitza that divides between the person's body and between the waters of the mikveh. And finally, machitzin. Machitzin is what we're talking about now. Any type of machitza, partition, wall, all of those are halacha l'moshe misinai. So, Bottom line is, Rabbi Yehuda says that I know that the machitza of the sukkah, the fact that it has to be 10 tvachim tall and the schach on top, I don't know it from the kapoyris, I don't learn it from the kruvim, I learn it halacha l'moshe misinai. So now, from here till most of the Amid Aleph, and even into the Amid Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss in some detail this halacha l'moshe misinai of the shiurim, chatzitzin, and machitzin. So initially the Gemara is going to focus on the shiurim, and we're going to get to the chatzitzin and machitzin later on. Zokti Mara Shiurin, you're telling me it's halacha l'moshe misinai, d'oraisa ninu, it's actually min haTorah. What do you mean min haTorah? Tachsiv, it says in the Pasuk, very famous Pasuk, we're going to lay in this Pasuk in this week's parsha. Eretz chita sa'oira gefen ta'ina v'rimayin eretz zeis shemen udvash. Then I said in this week's parsha, I'm sure Barry's going to correct me momentarily and say it's the beginning of Veschanan and not in Dvorim, so my apologies. But it's the beginning of this Sefer Dvorim. This pasuk, of course, is enumerating the Shivas Minim Shinishtapcha Behen Eretz Yisrael, the seven Minim about which Eretz Yisrael is so proud, seven different types of peiros and produce. And the Omer of Chonin, this entire pasuk of the Eretz Chitas Oira is not just telling us about the seven minim in Eretz Yisrael, but it's telling us about shiurim. Shiurim means different measures, and the Gemara goes through each one. So we start off with chita. Chita lebeis hamenuga. Beis hamenuga means if you have a house that has on the walls a nega tzaras, it has these blotches or stains, which the Torah refers to as tzaras. What do you have to do? So, of course, there's a whole parsha about this in Parshiyos Tazria Metzora. But for what we need to know for today is, what happens if a person enters into such a bayis hamanuga, such a house that has those stains on the walls? When does he become tamei? And when do his accessories become tamei? Accessories meaning things that either he is wearing or things which he is carrying. So the Gemara tells us, it's a Mishnah. A Mishnah in Mesechtes Negoyim, Perek Yud Gimel. What does it say in the Mishnah? Ha nichlas l'bayis hamenuga. A person who walks into a bayis hamenuga. In other words, it's already been confirmed by a Kohen that there's a nega tzaras on the walls of this bayis, and therefore people typically would not walk into such a bayis because they would become tamei. But this person, on purpose or inadvertently, walked into the bayis, and he was carrying in his hands the kalev al kseifav, which means he had a bunch of articles of clothing that he was not wearing, but that he had draped over his shoulders. In other words, he could have been wearing a full set of garments, but in addition to that, he was holding over his shoulders his coat, his sweater, or whatever, an extra article of clothing. The sandalov, the taboisa biyodai, and his sandals, instead of wearing the sandals, he was holding the sandals. Again, the person could have been wearing shoes and having an extra pair of sandals that he was wearing in his hand, holding in his hand. The taboisa biyodai, and instead of wearing a ring, he was holding the ring in his hand. Who, the hein, tamein miyad. As soon as they walk into the bayis hamenuga, boom, they become tamei. What's the reason why they become tamei? Says Rashi, because it says in the pasuk, "V'habo el habayis yitma." A person who enters into the home of a negatzeras, he becomes tamei. And "V'habo," says Rashi, doesn't just mean a person, but anything that comes into the house becomes tamei. And so, therefore, normally, of course, an inanimate object cannot walk on its own. But if you have a person carrying those inanimate objects, whether it's an extra set of clothing, whether it happens to be extra shoes, rings, or anything that he's holding in his hands, food items, he's holding in his hands bags, whatever it is, anything that he carries into this house becomes tamei biyad, because they are all considered to be v'habo el habayis yitma. However, says the Gemara at the top of the Amid, instead of having clothing draped over his shoulder, Hayulavish Kalev, if he was wearing the clothing, the sandalov beraglav, and he's wearing the sandals on his feet, the taboisav etzboisav, and he's wearing his ring on his fingers. Hutamimiyad the hain tahoirin pras. He remains tamei immediately because he's a bo el habayis, but all those other things that he is now wearing do not become tamei immediately. They're only going to become tamei after a few minutes. How do you measure those few minutes? Says the Gemara, it depends on how long it takes for a person to eat achilas pras, pas chitin, fili pas soirin. The word pras means a half, and in this case it means a half a loaf. If you have a loaf of bread, which is made out of chitin, made out of wheat, and not made out of barley, and you have a half of such a loaf of bread, how long would it take you to consume that half a loaf of bread if you were meisiv va'oichel, if you were reclining, a lashon haseba, like we have on Seder night? You're not sitting straight up, but you're lying down. But lifton, and you're not just eating a cold, dry piece of bread, but you have some sort of relish on the piece of bread. You put on it, for instance, butter or jelly, or put in any one of those 20 different types of dips that people typically have now Friday nights after or with their fish. You put it into the tchina or into the hummus or whatever. That would be the amount of time until the begodim and kalim and tabois and the sandalim become tameh. What's the reason for all of this? So Rashi explains, because we have in the parsha of the Nega Tzaras, it says in the same pasuk, two halves. Va'oichel v'bayis yichabis es begodov, v'hashoichev v'bayis yichabis es begodov. A person who eats inside the bayis hamanuga becomes tomei lechabis begodov, requiring his begodim to have tvila. V'hashoichev v'bayis, and the person who's lying in the house, he also has the same din of kibbutz begodim. Now what's bothering the Gemara is that l'choyre, the word yichabis es begodov, is repeated twice unnecessarily. It could have said va'oichel, v'hashoichiv, v'bayis, yichabis es begodov. Because it says yichabis es begodov twice, we learn from that that even if the person is not an ochel v'bayis, eating in the house, even if the person is not a shoichiv v'bayis, resting in the house, but if he's in the period, if he's in the house for a period of time that would require him to, or to allow him to eat this chatzi pras, a pras, which is a chatzi kikar, of a pas of chitim, meisiv oichel beliftan, what is that period of time? Is a machloikis haposkim and mefarshim. Let's assume 5 minutes. There are ranges, I think, between 4 and 8 minutes, or 4 and 10 minutes. Whatever it is, take 5 minutes. So if the person stays in this house for 5 minutes, and Rashi quickly points out, even if he eats nothing inside the house, he's just in the house for 5 minutes, as soon as those 5 minutes are over, boom, the chiyuv of kibbutz begodim is triggered. And therefore, that's when the begodim have to go into the mikvah, because that's when they become tamei. So what do I see from that pasuk and from that drasha? That when you're wearing the begodim, then they become yichabes as begodov, then become his clothing that he is wearing, as opposed to clothing that he is carrying. Then the halacha is, you gotta wait inside the house 5 minutes for those begodim to become tamei. If you don't want them to become tamei, run out of the house as quickly as possible. So even though you have become tamei, however, the clothing that you're wearing did not become tamei, and you won't have to do the kibbutz begodim. Let's see just quickly the Rashi, starting from the top of the Amud. Hayulavish kelev deikru lahu begodov. The kelim that we mean are the ones that he is wearing as clothing. He was a boil abayis tamei immediately. It said in the possible, person who eats in the house has to go and toivul is begodov. And then it says also in the pasuk, v'ashoichev b'bayis yichabes is begodov. So I only know oichel and I only know shoichev. Oichev b'loy shoichev. What happens if he eats without lying in the house? Shoichev b'loy oichev. What happens if he's lying in the house without eating? Loy oichev b'loy shoichev. He didn't eat and he didn't lie down. He was just standing there or just walking around without doing anything. Just walking, going back and forth. Standing in one place. Minayin, how do I know that there's a din of kibbutz begodim? Tamaloymer, yichavis begodet. Riba shtei pa'amim. Because it says twice, ksiv yichavis begodet. Why does it have to say it twice? To tell you that you don't have kibbutz begodim immediately, but only after the zman of the ochel. Vim seifeinu l'rabbi sakoyim, ma tamaloymer vo'ichel. If you're telling me that lav davka ochel and lav davka sholcheif, just as long as he's there inside the house, after a while, Yichab is begodav, then I bazoi ma tamalayma va'oichel. What do I need va'oichel? Baba is a chabis and begodav. Liten shir l'shoichev kidei achila. Shein toin kibis begodav machi yishir kidei achila. Ah, when will the begodav become tamay? Only if he's there the amount of time that it takes to eat the pras lechem, as we said. The goofy tummy miyad, but he himself becomes tummy immediately. The hachi ksiv aboyla bayis yidma. The loy ksiv kibas begodim. The oichlum bayis. The hainu shoye kri achilis begodim. And it doesn't say kibas begodim immediately. It only says after the oichlum bayis, yichavis is begodim. It comes to tell you that you have to wait in the house the shir kidei achila. How much is that shir? Going back to the Gemara on the third line, achilis pras, which is a half a kikar, half a loaf. How much is a loaf? After all, when you go into the bakery, the different sizes of a loaf. So, Rashi over here doesn't tell us. However, Rashi, later on in Daf Pei Beis, not here, there's no Daf Pei Beis here, in Mesechtes Eiruvin on Daf Pei Beis, says that the amount of a pras is Dalid Beyim. And therefore, Dalid Beyim is for two Seudois, and that would be, Dalid Beyim means four eggs. So it would be the size of four eggs. So bottom line is getting back to our Gemara. With pasta we're talking about is made out of chitza, made out of wheat, and not made out of barley. The reason why that's important is because barley bread is much more coarse and takes longer to eat. So therefore we're talking about wheat bread that we can eat more quickly. Meisav oichel, explains Rashi, means he was lying down and not sitting up. Because when a person sits up, says Rashi, he's torid bedvorim achirim, meaning people are multitasking. This is not something that was created in year 2020, 2021. They really had multitasking in the times of the Gemara. And what it's telling us is that if you're lying down, the only thing that you're focused on is eating. If you're sitting up at the table, you might be playing with your iPhone. You might be looking in the papers. You might be preparing or reviewing the daf. But if you're lying down, the only thing that you're doing is you're eating. And therefore, since you're concentrating on eating, it's going to go a little bit more quickly. And since it's belift on, it'll go more quickly because that will act to... It'll be easier to eat a piece of bread with relish than if the bread is just totally, totally a cold, dry piece of bread. So that's what we learn from chita. What do we learn from saora? Yes?
Why are we saying stam achila here? Is achilas pras chitin?
That's a very good question. And the answer is, that's the halacha l'moshe m'sinai. The halacha l'moshe m'sinai tells us shiurim, that even though al pi rov, most shiurim are kizayis, as we're going to see in another few lines, but there are special exceptions to the rule, like the case of the bayis hamanuga, where there the shiur is the kidei achilas pras chitin, meisiv v'oicha b'liftan, all based on the halacha l'moshe m'sinai. And in fact, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, remember we're still in the middle of a kasha. The kasha of the Gemara is, what are you telling me, halacha l'moshe m'sinai? It's a pasuk, the pasuk says it. And the Gemara is going to go and say, yeah, it says in the pasuk chita, but it doesn't say chita for bayis hamanuga, eating it, meisiv b'liftan achatzi, a pras of the kikar. So all of that is going to be the halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and as we'll see in the Gemara, the pasuk is really more an asmachta, not a real limud. We'll see that in Mitzvah Shem momentarily. Now we're up to Sa'ira. We said Chitu Sa'ira. Says Yomar, not Etzim Ki Sa'ira Metambe Memagu B'masa Metambe B'Oyel. What happens if Chas V'Shalom a person passes away? And a person, another, a live person, touches the bone of that dead person. When does the live person become Tameh? He has to touch a bone which is at least the size of a Sa'ira. Sa'ira, a small barley corn or the small kernel of barley, very, very small, and that, if a person touches that type of bone, or he carries it, then the shear, then that person will be tamei, and he'll have to have hazor shlishi ushmi, and he'll have to go to the mikveh, etc. However, in a matam ba'oil, if you happen to be inside an oil where there is a bone, one bone alone is not going to do it. Tumas oil has got to be b'roiv minyan or roiv binyan. Roiv minyan means since there are 248 bones, there have to be at least 125. Or roiv binyan means the skeletal remains. Rashi says the gulgoilis together with the shadra, together with the ribs sticking out, etc. That would be the binyan, the infrastructure of an individual. That's matam ba'oil. But the matame, the magum amasa, etzem kisoira, I learned that from Sa'ira. Gefen, which is the next word in the pasuk, kilei revias yayin lenazir. That comes to tell you the din of revias yayin lenazir. Now, on the surface, that would mean that if a nozir drinks a revias of gefen of yayin, then he has been over, he has violated his naziris, and he would have to go and start all over again. Or at least he would have to go and bring a carbon. You only start over again if you become tamei. But if you drank, then he would be chayiv, presumably a chatas, whatever. But getting back to our Gemara, the point is, the shear of Geffen is a revias by a nazir. Rashi, however, is not happy with this kedei revias yayin lenazir, because all the others, the chit and tzaira, we've used those for other parashiyos. In other words, we've taken the chita and we are adapting that or using that for purposes of bayis hamanuga. We're using the se'ira for purposes of nebuchadnezzar. If you're telling me gefen is referring to wine, then that's the gefen itself. It's not referring to a third party or to a third halacha. And therefore, Rashi over here says that the gefen is referring to a solid. If you take a grape, chatzanim, zogim, all of those things which a nozer is not allowed to eat, what happens if a nozer does eat chatzanim, the adzog, he eats the pits, he eats the peel, the shell, he eats the grape itself. I would normally say, like Barry said before, that the shear would be a shear of the kazayas. Kamash malon, the pasuk gefen, to go and tell you, no, the shear is a revias. Now you're saying to yourself, but a revias is a liquid volume, not a solid volume. So Rashi addresses that, and Rashi says, what you have to do is, you take a kois full of revias of yayin, and you drop into it, slowly but surely, grapes, and chatzanim and zog, until all of that wine has been displaced, it's spilled over, and then you'll know that you have now filled, you now have a shear of the displacement of revias of those fruits of the grapes, or the chatzanim and zog. Toisus on the top compliments Rashi over here, because Rashi, Toisus says that in the Sechtes Erevin, Rashi said that the Geffen is talking about the yayin itself, that if a nozer drinks a revias of yayin, he gets malchus. Says Toisus, that doesn't sound right, because all the others, the chita and the sa'ira, and the others that we're going to bring, always referred to other parshiyos, not to that parsha itself. So Geffen also should be referring to something else, not to a revias of yayin. So says Toisus, that's why he prefers Rashi's pshat over here, that Rashi says we're not talking about the yayin, but we're talking about, in fact, other things being the solids of the grapes that you put into the cup, and once a revias has spilled over and been displaced, then you know that's your shear of the grapes that you're over if you're a nozer and you eat them. Now you can ask a question, says Rashi, since we're talking about displacement anyway, why do we have to say gefen kedei revias yayin? Why don't we say kedei revias mayim? Take a cup of water and go and pour in and put into it a revias, and now displace that water by putting in grapes, etc. And you don't need the gefen, you don't need the yayin for that if you're talking about the displacement of Revius. Says Rashi, because there's a big difference between wine and water, because of the density or the viscosity of the wine is such that it's, says Rashi, Yayin avu ve'en mamar latzis. Let's take a quick look at the Rashi, Kedei Revius Yayin. That Rashi is about 10 lines before the wide lines. Kedei Revius Yayin. Says Rashi, Bishar Isuri Nozir, by other Isur Menozir, not by the Yayin. The Ikalaman the Yama Besechtes Nozir, the Chatzanim. Chatzanim are the pits. The Lovim, the olive. The Lovim are the shoots that grow out of the grapevines. The olive are the leaves. They're all mitzdar from the Shir Revius Yayin. They're all mitzdarf. They're what? Shem yitnim l'kois moliayin. If you were to place them inside a kos which is full of wine, achiyetzim remenu revius yayin, until the revius spills over, then I know that's the shear that a nozer is usher to eat, or that he is mechuyev malkus if he does eat it. Ve'ein doim ha-mishar v'kois moliayin l'mishar b'yayin. You cannot compare making the same displacement measure by a kois full of water as opposed to a kois full of wine. Mishum de yain avu. Wine is thick. Veinim amayr lotzeis. It doesn't easily spill over. Elin nifrat v'nigdash al svas ha-kois. Yoisim en amayim. But it will collect and stay there on the top of the kois. That's why sometimes in Shabbos, especially if you're using these thicker wines, very often the wine will go above the kois. That's what the Gemara calls elsewhere birutzen, birutzen nidois. Those are above the kois. And that will not happen with water, because as soon as the water goes over the cup, it'll spill over. So that's why we prefer talking about, or that's why this pasuk and this gemara is referring to Geffen, Kedei Revius, Yayin Menasim. After Geffen comes to Teina. Teina is a fig. That's Kegroigus Leitzor Shabbos. Back in Masechta Shabbos, Masechta Erevin, we learned that if a person carries food items on a Shabbos, the minimum to go and be mechuyev and onesh is if he goes and carries a kegroigers. Kegroigers is a dried out fig, because that's considered to be a dover choshuv, and therefore if you carry that, you're oiver on the isser of carrying on shabbos. Rimoin, which is a pomegranate, that now we learned in the Mishnah, kol kli bali batim shi'uron bekirimoin. We've had this many times, that when you have a kli, a vessel, and that vessel develops a small hole. If you happen to be an uman, a professional, you happen to be a seller, you're selling such kalim in your store, once it develops even the smallest hole, it becomes virtually worthless, because who's going to go and buy lechatchila a vessel that has a hole in it? However, if you are balabas and you own such a vessel, and it has a lot of sentimental value, because you use this vessel already at the bris of one of your children, or at the kiddush, and then subsequently you took it out and showed it to everybody at the bar mitzvah or the bat mitzvah, and then afterwards you took it to the chuppah or whatever, so it's very sentimental. Even if it has a hole in it, you'll continue to retain it and to hold it until it gets the shear of the opening of a rimayin, which means it's a huge opening. At that point, the average balabas will discard that kli, because it no longer, although it may have sentimental value, it no longer has any practical value. And so at that point, it no longer is mekabel tuma, and if it was tummy until now, it loses its tuma because of the fact that it's no longer a kli. And then the pasuk continues on, Eretz zei shemen udvash. Zokti mor, what's zayis? Eretz shekol shiurei kezeisim. All of the shiurim are always a kizayis. What are all the shiurim? Says Rashi, Saila gabi tumma, tumas mes. Chas Hashem, there's a bosser of a mess inside a house. A kizayis is matame. The din of a nevela, if you touch a nevela, it's matame b'kizayis. And then, of course, the isurim of achila, if you eat chaylev, if you eat dam, if you eat pigal, if you eat noiser, if you eat behemoth meya, you eat a non-kosher animal, you eat gid hanosha, any of these happen to have a shear of the kezayis. So therefore, kol shiurel kezayisim. Frankly more, kol shiurel. All shiurim, sol kedaitach, huikahani dabrion. We've just gone through four or five where each one of them is a different shear. We had a shear of the chita, which was the pras of the kikar, and we had the etzem kisaora, and we had the revius of yayin, etc., etc. And you tell me all the shiurim. So tomorrow, ela ema shiroiv shiurim akizayis, and bederach klal mo shiurim akizayis, as Barry said before, because usually the Torah uses the lashon of achila, and ochel typically is because ice. And finally, the Zei Shemen Udvash. Dvash, as we know, is not bee's honey, but it's date honey. So therefore, although it says honey, you view it as if it says date. That tells you Kikoisa Sagasa Biyoim HaKippurim. Kikoisa Sagasa means like a large Koisevis. Koisevis is a large date. And remember, we had back in Masechtas Yuma, there was a shaila in the Gemara, does that include the garin? Does it include the pit? It doesn't include the pit. But if a person eats kikoyt b'yom kippurim, the Chachamim said that that is mesiv daite, that gives a person a certain degree of yishev adas and satisfaction. It takes away his inui, and that's why you cannot eat the kikoyt sagasa and yom kippur. We learned that from the din of the dvash. So what do I see from this fairly lengthy braisa? I see that all shiurim are min haTorah. Whether you're talking about, I don't know, but all shiurim, we didn't talk about a kibeya, but bederach klal, 90% of all the shiurim are min haTorah, whether it happens to be the shiur of the kezayis, or a shiur of viyas, or kekoisis, kegroigris, all's min haTorah. So what did you tell me that it's halacha lemoishe mi Sinai? Zok Timara, the Tizbra, let me ask you, put on your thinking cap for a moment, shiurim mi ksivi? You're right, there is a pasuk Eretz Chitas Oyre Gevin Teinev Rimein. But does it say the word shiur at all in this pasuk? When it says chita, does it suggest having to do with Bayis HaManuga? When it says Dvash, does it suggest that we're talking about Yom Kippurim? There's not a word mentioned in the pasuk. And therefore, says Gemara, El Hilchasaninu, rather, all of the shiurim that we just went through are all halacha l'moish mi Sinai. Including Barry, the very first one, the chita, that it's not the shear of the kezayis, but the shear is that kedei achilas prasiv paschitim meisiv va'oichem liftar. Again, it's not that we learn it from the pasuk; it's really Allah l'moish v'sinai, and the pasuk is across machtem yalmahu. The chachamim use this pasuk to kind of hang their hats on to find some sort of mekar, some sort of remez to this halacha, but really all of these shiurim Allah l'moish v'sinai. But let's continue on. We said not only shiurim, but also chatzitzin and machitzin. Chatzitzin, if a person goes to the mikveh, make sure he doesn't have something on his skin. Frey Timora, that's a locha moish sinai. Deraisin, and it's a chaposing in the Torah. Tichsiv, v'rochatz es psore b'moyim. And the Gemara darshins, what means psoroi? Psoroi, of course, means his skin, his flesh. Shelo yehi dover choytzit b'noi levein ha'moyim. That it's got to be b'moyim, the basar in the mayim, and nothing in between that would interfere with the rechitzas basar b'mayim. So, Ibazoi, what do I need a locha moish sinai? Evening mark yasoy hilchas l'saroi. The halacha is coming to tell you legabe a person's hair, that if in the person's hair he has any type of dirt or jelly or whatever that is making, there's a chatzitza between the hair and the water, that's what I need the halacha l'moish v'sinai. Kirava b'b'chona, yom rabba b'chona, nima achas kshura choytzetzes, sholosh einim choytzetzois, shtayim eni yodea. So here we're not talking about dirt, here we're talking about a tie in the hair, meaning if one of your hairs got entangled, nima achas is one hair, kshura, which it's tied on its own, in other words, you have one long hair, and there's a bow, there's a tie in the hair itself, that one hair, that is a chatzitza. That means that would be, that would cause the person's immersion in the mikveh to be not valid. Sholosh, if you have three hairs which are tied together, ein chaytetzoyis. The assumption is that hairs are not like string or thread that can easily be tied. But even if you tie the three hairs together, there is no permanence there. There are holes in the hair, if you will, and it's not a chatzitza. Well, shtayim, if you have two hairs tied together, any idea there, I'm not sure what the halacha would be. Anyway, Zokti Yomar said, that is the halacha l'moish v'sinai, that the din of chatzitza also applies to hair on the head. Frank Yomar, I need a halacha l'moish v'sinai, sorry, now we do raisin inu. That's all to the same pasuk, d'chsib, v'rochatz es psorei b'moyim. What do I need the es for? It could have said v'rochatz b'sorei b'moyim. So the es comes to tell you, es atobol b'soroi. Es comes to tell you something which is secondary to the skin, to the body. Umayni usaroi. Oh! So I know the din chatzitza by seyar, also from a pasuk. So we're back to square one. What do I need a locha l'moishe sinai for? Every mark here, so I hilchas alik Rav Yitzchak. I'm Rav Yitzchak. Dvatoira rupa yu makbet olav choitzet. Vishayna makbet olav eime choitzet. The gozu al rubai shayna makbet misham rubai ha makbet valuito ha makbet misham rubai ha makbet. What's the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying is, you're right. The parasha of Seyar, that a chatzitza and the Seyar invalidates the immersion in the mikvah, that I learned from the S. Rochatz Psorim Amayim. However, the halacha of Roiv HaMakbid Alav. Now, what means Roiv Makbid Alav? Parshat Pshat, Ruba is talking about if there is, for instance, dirt on the person's body, and it's on the Roiv, the majority of the person's body, and Makbid Alav, and obviously he's not happy with that dirt on his body. So that's Choytzitz. However, Rashi learns we're not talking about the body, we're talking about the Seyar, like the Gemara said before, we're talking about the hair. See, if Roiv of the person's hair, says Rashi, is Metuna Betit, has on it, for instance, some mud, some clay, some dirt, or, like we had before, Koshur, if you had one hair which is tied. Now, one hair being tied, that's obviously not a Roiv. Here we're talking about that the person has Lemoshel, as an example, 1,000 hairs on his head, and 501 of those hairs are all tied singly on its own. You have one hair which is tied, and a second hair which is tied, and a third hair, each one on its own. Because if there are three together, ein choitzitz, and two, I'm not sure, said the Gemara. So that's why Rashi says on the top line. Look at the Rashi top line. Ruboy roiv sari metunav betit. Most of it is dirty. That's easy. Oy kosher achas achas. Or each individual hair, roiv of the hairs on his head. If the person is mostly bald, then it's not such a big problem. But if the person has tons of hair, to become a chatzitza, it would have to be roiv of each one of those hairs being tied on its own to itself. And if he's makbid on that, then he is choitzitz. And that's the din that we learn, halacha l'moisha misina. Says Gemara, however, if you have a situation of roiv she'ena makbid olav, it's tak a roiv of his hair, is tak a tied, or a shmutzik, but the person doesn't care, because he's one of those people, says, nah, big deal, who cares, blah, 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 blah. Then ain't a choitzitz. Then minat Torah, it's not choitzitz. The only time it's choitzitz minat Torah, if it's rubai umakbid olav choitzitz. But if he's not makbid, it's not choitzitz. And we say minat Torah, we mean halach l'moish v'sinai. But the chachamim gozru, they added a decree. They were goizer al rubai she'ena makbid, mishum rubai hamakbid. And they said that roiv, that you're not makbid, that you don't care, is a chatzitza, because of roiv hamakbid, v'amuyutei hamakbid, ulta mishum rubi hamakbid. And similarly, what happens if it's less than roiv of the hair? It's only 40%, only 10% of the hair, which happens to be dirty or happens to be tied, even though he is makbid, but it's only a miut. Nevertheless, it invalidates a tvila midrabanan because of this gzeir. So therefore, Minat Torah, based on the halacha Moshe Sinai, it's got to be both ingredients, roiv and makbid. Based on the Rabbanan, if it's one of the two, it's roiv, the ena makbid, or it's makbid, the ena roiv, in those, both of those cases, again, it would be a chatzitza, it would invalidate the immersion. Frankly, Marvelig Zanami al miyutei she'ena makbid, mishem miyutei hamakbid, inami mishem rubei she'ena makbid. Why don't we go one step further? That not only in a case where it's miut hamakbid or roiv she'ena makbid, why don't we talk about a miut she'ena makbid? It's a small number of hairs, it's only 5% of his hairs, it's only 1% of his hairs that happen to be dirty or happen to be tied. So it's certainly a miut. And he doesn't care, and he says, come on, don't bother me. I always have some dirty hair. Now, I only go and wash my hair once a year. I don't really care. I don't know that. Let's go and make a gzeira and say that should also be choitzitz. Says the Gemara, that would already be a gzeira li gzeira. Because he goof a gzeira. That ruboy, the ene makbid, or miutai, or makbid, that himself is a gzeira. So you want to go and add the next level of miut, she'ena makbid, v'na nekem nigger, negzera v'gzera, doshay nisht. That's why those would not be a chatzitza. So if you have a chatzitza of a miut she'ein a makbid olav, it would not be a chatzitza. The only question that we have now really is, what do I need the pasuk for? Meaning, I had a drasha on the Omid Aleph saying, V'rochatz b'sorah b'moyim, esa tofel b'soroi, and that comes to include seir, includes here. You just told me that the whole halacha of here is based on halacha l'moish me'sinai. Ruba yomakbet olav. So what does the pasuk come to tell you? So some of Arshim say that the pasuk comes to tell you, kuloi umakbid olav, that if all the here is shmutzik from top to bottom, and you're obviously makbid, that's chaitzit. Says the Lacha Moshe Sinai, it doesn't have to be kuloi, even ruba umakbid olav. That would be chaitzit. So that's an easy pshat. The Tosis, however, says a different pshat. If you look at the first Tosis here on Vav Amid Beis, go down to the last 5-6 lines of the Tosis, almost halfway down the Amid, v'yam toimai. What do I need the pasuk for in the Amud Aleph? Based on the fact that I have now my halacha l'moish mi'sinai. Comes to tell you that the here, which is not out in the open, but here, which happens to be, for instance, under arms or down below, that here, which is based on storm, which normally is not visible, it's coming to tell you there too, it is chaytzeitz, and there too, make sure that it's clean, and that it's not entangled, that it's not dirty, etc. So that's what the S comes to tell you. Fine. Now let's get to mechitzin. That was the third of the trio over here. Shiurin, chatzitzin, u'mechitzin. So if you want mechitzin, hod yamoron. Now I know what the mechitzin of the Loch L'Moshe Sinai is. It's like Rabbi Yehuda, that is coming to tell you that the mechitza of a shuke is gotta be 10 tvachim tall. Not 11 and a half, but 10 tvachim tall, with the schach on top of it. I know that from this halacha l'moish misina. Says Yemara, how do you want what we spoke about before? Now, Hanich al Rabbi Yehuda, that's good according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda needed this mechitza in halacha l'moish misinai, because otherwise, the minimum height of a sukkah would be 11 and a half amas. But El Rameir, Rameir had a beautiful pshat. Rameir said that standard amos in the Mishkan, even the kelim, were amos of 6 tvachim. So therefore, the Oren itself was 9 tvachim tall. Add to that the Kaporis, one more tefach, is 10 tvachim tall. And then we have that the Kruvim ended up at 20 tvachim height. So 20 minus 10 gives you 10. So we already had the shear of 10 for the sukkah. So what is this mechitzin coming to tell you? Halach l'moish misinai. So tomorrow, kesoy hilchasa legud v'lovud v'doyven akuma. Oh, comes to tell us these special halachas, which we touched on a couple of them back on Sunday. Good is good achis and good asik, which means sometimes we allow walls to be extended virtually, either upwards or downwards, and therefore that's halach l'moish misinai. There is no particular logic to it. There's no pasuk. So Loch Moshe Sinai that you're allowed to go and sometimes extend walls to form virtual mechitzos. Velovid, as we know, is the halacha that anything less than 3 tvachim, when you're dealing with measures, it's as if it's enclosed, it's as if it's closed up. So if you have, for instance, the wall of a sukkah, which is 2.5 tvachim removed from the ground, we'll deem it as if it's all the way on the ground because it's less than 3 tvachim. And finally, Dofen Akuma, which you also spoke about on Sunday, where you have, for instance, not enough schach, or you have bad schach on top of your sukkah, which is adjacent to one of the walls. So instead of saying that the sukkah is possible because all that schach is possible, we're going to say that the schach is a continuation, just an extension of the wall. It's a Dofen Akuma. So that entire thing is just a wall, including the bad schach. As long as it's less than 4 amis, it won't passel the rest of the schach at the top of the sukkah. And with this, we have concluded the fairly lengthy discussion about this halacha l'moish misinai, and we continue on going back to our Mishnah. Back in the Mishnah, we said halacha number 3, right? The first halacha was schach l'mala mi'esr mama. Second one, if the sukkah was less than 10 tvachim tall. And now we're talking about what happens if the sukkah has less than 3 walls. Tana Rabban, we learned in the Braisa, Shtayim Kilchosan, Rishlish is Afilu Tefach. Pshimon Oy Mesholish Kilchosan, Revi is Afilu Tefach. We have a machloikis between the Tanakam and Pshimon. What does it mean that a sukkah has to have three walls? According to the Tanakama, three walls means two proper walls, kilchasan. Proper walls would be at a minimum seven tvachim long and seven tvachim wide, since we said that the minimum size of a sukkah is 7 by 7. Roishay rubay vishulchanai. So I have the 7 by 7. The third wall doesn't even need to be 7 by 7. As long as you have a tefachol, that's already enough. How do the first two walls, how do they interact? So you have the picture here in the Rashi. It looks like either an L, or you can turn it in the other direction. The point is that they have the two walls meeting, and then you have to have the third wall. The question is, where is that tefach of the third wall? So if you look, there's a picture down below, which is going to be tomorrow's Gemara. It looks like the little piece that tefach has to be attached. So it's the beginning of a third wall. We're going to talk about tomorrow whether or not perhaps if it was like in the shape of a hay, that you had two walls, and then you had a space, and then you had a little shtickler down below, would that also be three walls? But for our purposes, we don't need to get into that. All we need to know for the time being is that according to Tanakama, it doesn't need to be three full walls, but even two walls plus a tefach. Or Reb Shimon Oimer, no, it's sholosh kilchasim, three full walls, or revias afilu tefach. So, according to Tanakama, it's 2 plus. According to Reb Shimon, it's 3 plus. Each time the plus, meaning a tefach. What is the basis of this machlekes? See, Mor is going to give us 3 or 4 different approaches to understand the machlekes. Reb Shimon Savar, Yesh Eim LeMikra. Whenever we have this Yesh Eim LeMisoyres, Yesh Eim LeMikra, it has to do with the fact that there are words in the Torah which you could read one way, but we actually read a different way. What do we mean? So let's go straight into the Pasuk. It says in the Pasuk, Basukais, Basukais, Basukais. For those of you that have the Torah or HaShalem, you see that these are two Psukim back to back, and the first Pasuk begins Basukais. Notice that between the Kaf and the Saf, there is no Vav. There's only a pintle on top, a little dot, which is what we call a cholam chaser. It's missing the cholam, it's missing the vav, but you have the dot on top, basukais. You could read it basukas, but of course we do read it basukais. And if you go to the end of that pasuk, kol ezach b'Yisrael yeshu basukais, again the same thing. You could read it theoretically basukas, but we know you read it basukais. But the next pasuk says, "Laman yedu dor yisechem ki basukais." Here it's written full with a cholam mole. So I see clearly kaf vav saf. Here I cannot read it basukas. I have to read it basukais because that's the way it's spelled. Ah, so now what difference does this make? What difference does it make is that if I hold yesh ein lemikra, then I have 6 sukais altogether. How do I have 6 sukais? Because miut rabim shnaim, if it says basukois, that means 2 times 1 sukkah. And it says that 3 times, basukois, basukois, basukois. If yesh im lemikra, if you focus on the way it's read, I have 3 times 2, I have 6 all together. But if I say yesh im lemesoidis, I read these words not the way you're supposed to read them, but the way they are written, then it's basukas, basukas, basukois. So basukas is 1, basukas is now 2, and basukois is another 2, 4 all together. Okay, so what difference does that make? The Zokimar. Rabbanan Tzaviyesh Ein Lemesoides, basukois, 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 hari kan arba. Since I don't read it as the mikra, but as the Mesoides, so basukas, basukas, basukois is 4 all together. Dal chad legufei, remove one of the 4 I needed to tell you the mitzvah of sitting in a sukkah on sukkis. So this is not lidrash. It tells us the ikar halacha. Parshalu plus, I'm left therefore with 3. 4 minus 1 leaves you with 3. Shtayim kilchasan. Normally I would say that you have to go and have 3 full walls, because that's what the basukois teaches us. However, says the Gemara, no, it's time kilchasan, masoy hilchas, vigarata lishlishes, You're right, it should be three full walls, but that's what Halacha Moshe Sinai tells us. In other words, when we said before that Halacha Moshe Sinai is Mechitzin, until now we spoke about Mechitzin, about the height of 10 Tefachim according to Rabbi Yehuda, and the good Lovut and Doifan Akuma, says Rashi, now we're going to throw in one more Halacha into Halacha Moshe Sinai, that you don't need three full walls, two full walls plus a Tefach is sufficient. That's the Tanakhama. Reb Shimon Tzavar, Yesh Em LeMikra, and if I have Basukois, Hari Kanchesh, 3 times 2 is 6. Dal Chad Kro LeGufei, I have to take off one of them LeGufei. Now I don't take off one of the six, but I take off 2 of the 6, because I need the word Basukois to tell you the halacha of Sukois on Chaga Sukois. Poshul Arben, if I'm left now with 4, so normally I would say 4 normal full walls, but rather because of Loch Lomay Shvisinai, Sholosh Kil Chosin, 3 are normal walls. And so Hilchas of Agarat Alervi is Volk Musa Tefach. The Loch Lomay Shvisinai tells you that the fourth wall doesn't have to be a full wall. Even a Tefach is enough. So therefore, that's the first pshat, the machloikis between the Tanakama and Reb Shimon, whether it's 2 plus or 3 plus. Everybody holds Yeshem Lemikra, and therefore we're dealing with 6. If we're dealing with 6, and we remove 2 out of the 6, one of the 3 words, because I need it legufe, that leaves us with 4. Okay, so even after Halacha Lemoshe Misinai, it should be 3 plus. How does one man the Yama hold 2 plus? Dr. Yamara, I don't know if you see me or hear me. I don't see you, so I'm going to wait until this connection gets better. Okay, we're back together again. Oh, I see him. Have to.
You're muted.
Yes, okay, I unmuted myself. So we're back together.
You froze out from the Yiboy Seima.
Yiboy Seima, that's still on the Omer Aleph, right? We're going to go back to the Omer Aleph? Okay, I'm just kidding.
No,
okay, thank you very much. I was just kidding. Okay, so let's get back to the Ibayis Eima. The Ibayis Eima is Uvi Haltman doing the Gemara. The Kuli Alma Yesh Eim LeMikra. Everybody holds Yesh Eim LeMikra. Since Yesh Eim LeMikra, we have altogether 6. And therefore, of the 6, we're going to remove 2, because that's one of them I need Legufe, like the Gemara said before. So I'm going to be left with 4. So under normal circumstances, everybody should hold 4 walls. And even with Halacha Lemoshe Misinai going and be Migareya, it should be 3 plus a Tefach. So how do I have 2 plus a Tefach? V'achabakimifagi marsav is chocha bayikra, umarsavar is chocha loy bayikra. The machlokes is what I have to also remove one of the words to go and tell you the halacha of schach. Meaning, do I know that a sukkah has to have schach on top? Maybe a sukkah means walled without the schach on top. Now normally, you remember the first Rashi in the Masechta on the Mishnah said that the word sukkah, the definition of a sukkah means the hut with the schach on top. But that in fact, according to this pshat, is itself a machloikis. And therefore, in addition to the fact that I use the first bas sukkah to tell you that you have to sit in a sukkah, the whole sukkahs, do I also need a pasuk legufei to tell you that you have to have schach on the top of the sukkah, as opposed to things which are not schach, in other words, putting up a regular roof, or just leaving it empty, you know, and not having anything on top at all, or maybe put on a plastic roof, or put on a large umbrella. How do I know schach? Oh, so that in itself is a machloikis. Marasov is schach baye kro. I need a pasuk for the schach. Marasov is schach loy baye kro. I don't need a pasuk for the schach, and therefore, if I need a pasuk for the schach, I'm down to 3, and if I don't need, then I'm up to 4. So I can take my 4 with Halacha Lemoshe Misinai and reduce it down to 3 plus a tefach. If on the other hand, I think that I need one of them to tell you the din of schach, so then I'm down to 3, and the Halacha Lemoshe Misinai makes it 2 plus. V'yiboy yisayim l'kuli al miyeshon l'mesoidus. Everybody holds l'mesoidus, and therefore we read it as if there are 4 altogether. Basukas, basukas, basukois. They're all 4. V'achamalkim evgi. Marasavik yasoi hilchasa ligarei. Marasavik yasoi hilchasa lahoisif. Oh! We take the 4, we have to remove one to go and tell you the din of the legufe, to tell you there's a din of sitting in a sukkah on sukkahs. So I'm down to three. Right? I start off with four, subtract one, I'm down to three. Of that three, I have now a machloikis. What does Halacha Moshe Sinai do? One man Yama says, like we said until now, the Halacha Moshe Sinai tells you don't need three full walls. Two plus is enough. The other man Yama says, no, just the opposite. The Halacha Moshe Sinai comes to add, not to subtract. So it's not enough with three. You have to have three plus. Three plus a tefach. Everybody agrees that it comes to reduce, to subtract, not to add. And everybody agrees that we're going l'masayis. So, l'masayis, that means we're starting with four, right? Basukas, 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 you have four altogether. And until now, we learned that you always have to remove one ligufe, and then I'm going to be down to three. And then I'm going to be in trouble, because Halacha Moshe Sinai is only the gareya to reduce and not to add. Says Yom Avacha Bedorshin Tchilas Kamiflegi. Whether you can use the first one also for a drasha. In other words, from the beginning of this sugya, we've always assumed that we have to set aside one basukasa, one basukois, legufe, to tell you the halacha of a sukkah, that you have to sit in the sukkah during sukkahs. However, this is in fact a machloikis. The machloikis is bedorshin tchilois. Tchilois means that first word that you would normally think that you need legufe, can you darshin that as well? After all, Torah is given pardes, pshat, remez, drush, and soid. So maybe, yes, I need basukois to tell you the pshat that you have to sit in the sukkah, but maybe I can also use it for part of the drusha as well. And if I can use it as part of the drusha, so then I don't remove and set aside that first basukas, but I leave it as part of the drasha. So we start again, yesh in the mesaitis, basukas, basukas, basukois, four altogether. Don't drop one of the four. Leave the four, and now the halacha meshusina comes the gareya to reduce. So instead of four, I have three plus a tefach. That's if you hold dorish and tchilais, that you can be dorish even the first time. However, if you hold ein dorish and tchilais, then you have to remove one, so you're down to three. Of the three, we're going to reduce it because of the Halacha Moshe Sinai, and therefore we'll have two plus. So that was yet another way of understanding the Machlokes. Rav Masta Omer Taimid Rav Shimon Mihacha. Rav Shimon that says that you need three plus a tefach, he learned it from the pasuk that we quoted back on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. What did it say back on Daf Beis Amud Aleph? It said in the pasuk, a pasuk in, I think Yeshaya, no, is it? In Yeshaya, yeah. V'sukkah tia l'tel yoimim mechoyre v'lamachsel v'mistar mizerem u'mi motar. That in Miyat Hashem l'asad lovay, when Mashiach will come, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to make a protective sukkah for Klal Yisrael. In fact, I think according to Rashi in Yeshaya, this is a metaphor for Yerushalayim, that it's going to be l'tzel, it's going to be like a sukkah, for Klal Yisrael, letzel yoima mechoidev, that throughout the day it'll be protection against a chamsin, against the heat. It'll be tzel, it'll be shady. Ulamachsa ulamista mizer ulamata, and at all times it'll also be a protective force against a terrible rain, or just a regular rain. Zera means like a downpour, and mata just regular rain. Aha. Okay, so what do I learn from this pasuk? What I learned from this pasuk, says Rashi, if you want to have a good protective sukkah to go and protect you, letzel yoimim mechoyrev, and from zerum matar, having two plus a tefach, this is gunished. You're going to be either sunburned during the day, or you're going to be drenched at any time of the day or night. If, however, you start with a mechitza, a sukkah of four, even if it's not full four walls, at least you have three, plus a tefach, and of course, chach on top, that will be a good protection. So that's why Reb Shimon says, it's not two plus, it's three plus. Now the question is, where do you put that additional tefach? As we spoke about before, do you make it like a hay? Do you see the pictures here on the side? Do you attach it to the wall on the top, on the bottom, on the side? Mention that will be discussed tomorrow in the Gemara. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai. Any questions? Hearing none, Mir Shem, see you all tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, bright and early, to continue next Tav Zayin. Yes, Barry.
We talked about